let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some arse.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this January thanks to Shoreside Theatre's Shakespeare in the Park. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz, and check us out on Spotify. Now tonight in the studio we have the super talented alternative instrumental musician from Gisborne, Ash Sales, joining us. And beaming in from around the motu, we catch up with New Zealand Fringe director Vanessa. Nicola Brown is back with her show Space Invaders, playing at the New Zealand and Dunedin Fringe Festivals. And Emma from Tempest Theatre Company catches up with all the shows they've got lined up in all of these different festivals. It's another busy Sunday night. But first, to kick off the show, Beetlejuice the Musical is the new hit musical to tour Australia this year. Hopefully it will make its way across the ditch, fingers crossed. But they gave a fantastic preview this week at the Australian Open. Here is a track from that musical called Jump in Line.
Shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora. Shake it all the time. Work, 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 Sonora. Work your body line. Work, 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 Sonora. Work it all the time.
My girl's name is Sonora.
I tell you, friends, I adore her.
And when she dances, oh brother,
she's a hurricane in all kinds of ways.
Jump in the line.
Beetlejuice the Musical. Check it out. Opening first in Melbourne in May this year, and then travelling the country. I first exposed to Beetlejuice the Musical at one of your junior theatre
trials. Yeah, we did the New Zealand pilot of Beetlejuice Junior. And funnily enough, the group that we're taking to America next week, Beetlejuice is our adjudication piece that we're doing in Sacramento.
Oh, that's cool. I loved it. It was so cool. So cool. Mm. So definitely one on the highlight list, and has certainly woken us all up for a Sunday night in Auckland amidst a long weekend. Sorry, rest of the country tuning in, but we get tomorrow off, which is quite nice. Going home on a Sunday night and not setting the alarm.
Not quite nice going home in the weather as it is, though.
I know. Definitely winter's hit us in the middle of summer. Broadway Dreams, you managed to check it out on Saturday night, our guest from last weekend.
Such a good showcase. What they had learned in the week was phenomenal. The songs and the performances, and really cool to see them doing some original Broadway choreography and then some stuff specifically created for last night. And even more excited when they announced the three students who were scholarshiped, well, not scholarship, sorry, the three students who were invited to go to the New York showcase in November. Cool. And one of them's my student, Maui.
Of course, Maui, we've had on.
Yeah. So really great. Cool.
And you mentioned when we caught up over dinner, you said some of the alumni come back and perform as well. Mm. That's cool. That must be cool for the teenagers to see.
Well, there's no age limit on Broadway Dreams.
Ah,
so
true.
So then Yeah, so it's ones that maybe haven't, because they haven't done one in New Zealand for 4 years. So it was really cool seeing people that did it 4 years ago, just how much they've grown up and changed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, our first guest tonight, a little different style of music from Beetlejuice that kicked off the show, and that is the fabulous Ash Sales. And I introduced you by saying you are an alternative instrumental musician. So I'm glad I didn't have a wine or a gin before the show. Welcome to the show, Ash.
Hello. Thank you.
It's great to hear you. And out from Gisborne. Gisborne's home?
Yeah, this is my current home. My wife's from Gizzy and she, you know, brought me there.
Nice. Yeah. No, well, it's a beautiful part of New Zealand to be brought to.
Yeah, it seems like a common theme in Gizzy.
What, that people get a partner and get taken to Gizzy?
Yeah, I know a lot of married people that have been brought there.
But a good place, I would imagine, and with all the beautiful beaches and scenery and bush, to be writing music like this.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bush. I grew up in Wellington.
Right.
So I'm used to, like, quite dense, especially damp bush.
Yeah.
But in Gizzy, it's more, the coastline. I live quite far inland and, you know, we've got the gorge nearby, I suppose, but there's a lot of farmland, so it's kind of like it's very different, especially around here in Wellington. But the coast side is what's beautiful about that place.
Absolutely. I can remember doing touring shows there and staying, is it Bailey's Beach? Is that the beach? Anyway, one of the first sort of main beaches, and never forget coming back and the locals had left all these crayfish and buckets at our motel doors to say thank you so much for a great day today. But I had no idea how I was going to cook a crayfish in the motel room, but the motel owner was delighted when we said, would you like these?
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, such a cool community. How would you describe your music? I'm going to play it softly in the background while we chat so our audience sort of get a little vibe of it, but how would you describe it?
Yeah, so I have a lot of influences in my style of music and how I play guitar and things. I would describe it as cinematic, psychedelic, a bit of post-rock, a little bit of grunginess, but also a tad of EDM influences to bridge it all together. The idea behind it is to create atmosphere, create mood, but create rhythm to make you move. So trying to blend in melody and movement together.
Interesting to say to make you move, because when I listen to this track, there's a part of me that go, oh, I could actually really relax and unwind to it. It's got enough to keep you going, but also chill the brain.
Yeah. There is an element of that. I do like music that's quite repetitive and puts you into a trance, and it's that process of relaxing your brain waves is something that I'm quite passionate with. And I believe that's kind of one of my philosophies with my music that I've created, is to kind of get you from that angle, you know? Yeah.
And I love too that you said it was cinematic, because as soon as we played it earlier today, I straight away started seeing images and could imagine it being in the background behind something, a movie.
Yeah. And this video, I kind of wanted to show off a bit of Gisborne with it, and the idea behind it is, you know, nature kind of supports my music. There's like, I find parts of like New Zealand that if my music can relate to, and if I can put myself in the position of showing that part of nature, kind of balances out the music and the visual, because there's no lyrics, right? So the storytelling of the song is kind of down to the sound and to the image, if there is image, and hence why I've done.
Do you create a story in your head? Like, I mean, if we were interviewing someone that's written lyrics, they'll go, this story is based on my relationship that broke out back here and da-da-da-da-da. Is it the same when you're writing an instrumental piece?
Yeah, there is. There's a, like, a mindset, time, you know, where you're at in your life, the inspiration. Does it just flow in and you write, you know, 90% of the song, or is it something that you work on over time? It could be like, you know, some sort of struggle and then you get upset and then you go into your music room, have a jam, something comes up, and that kind of creates the story of the song. And is that's what kind of A, makes it really difficult to name an instrumental song, but also it's quite important because it's, even though it means something to me, what I think it is, but it's going to mean something completely different to someone else, because it's no lyrics, and it's your experience.
It's kind of cool. That's kind of cool too, where if you're listening to lyrics, you sometimes have no choice but to go down the story
line. Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see, like, this is the kind of music when I used to teach dance and stuff, to be able to give a track to the whole class and see what each group comes up with. Because every group, as you said, is influenced, will pick up different parts of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, create from that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I did work with a dancer in one of my other videos, and I allowed him to, I gave him, like, my message of the song. And then I said to him, hey, that's your craft, go hard, you know. And he created this really beautiful piece, like just using a lot of movement and using different styles of dance. And he kind of tied it together to tell a story through his dance. And that was a really beautiful experience, just watching someone else, hey, this is my song. Can you do your craft?
Yeah.
And, yeah. It just blows me away when you give someone that opportunity and they take that piece, do their thing, bring it back to you, and they're just like, oh, it's perfect.
So being an instrumentalist, obviously you're playing the guitar here, but the other instruments in there, is that you as well?
Yeah. The one thing that's not me that I have to credit my wife to is the eggs. I'm not the best egg shaker. The hi-hat sounds are from my mouth doing it. There are some samples of like rivers, some birds that I captured at Mahia Beach throughout the album. There are some of those crystal singing bowls. Mm-hmm. I got some of them in a couple of the tracks on the album. And I have a voiceover from someone speaking in Somali for a song called Going to Africa. And there's a couple of other sound bites, like my little son when he was about 6 months and stuff like that. So just to help tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the sounds, like the kick drum, all the guitar-y stuff, the bass, is all done on the acoustic guitar.
Very
so cool. Now, this track is 8 minutes long, so what's the story behind this one for you?
Yeah, so Remus is Latin for twin. And I was going through I had a bit of a visual experience where I had almost like looking at two embryos. And, well, it was a single embryo, and then it broke out into two, and then one consumed the other. And I had this, it just kept reoccurring, and it started to make me real frustrated and angry, and took me into some dark places. And I went to seek a bit of guidance, and someone just named it the twin. And then all of a sudden, like, the whole visual experience of what I was seeing, I felt it release from my body, and my body actually just kind of contracted, and I just started bursting in tears. And at that same moment, the phone call disconnected, and I had, it was like a time of chaos at that exact moment. And then so I sat with it for a while, and one night I was having a like a writing session, and I kind of wrote the song, and I was like, oh, cool. So I went outside, as I do, between session, go for a pee in the garden, you know, and ground myself. And then it was a full moon, and I was looking actually into the sky and looking at the moon, and I was actually thinking of Professor Remus Lupin from Harry Potter. And I thought, oh, Remus is pretty cool. I really like that character. I like his father figure and whatnot. And I just thought, oh, you know, it's a nice name. So I went on the old Google and typed in Remus, and straight there it was like Latin twin. And I was like, oh. Ooh. And I got goosebumps. Ooh. And things like that. So I was like, okay, that song is called Remus, and it's essentially that experience through what I believe could be my own twin when I was an embryo. And in the video, I kind of play on that with the night and the day and fire and water, playing with that two duality kind of things. Yeah.
Wow. You can feel that. You can feel that story in the music, especially sort of those build-up moments as well.
Yeah, and there's like a bit of anger in there.
Frustration.
Yeah.
I would have said, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Take us back. When did sort of music, I guess music start for you before you even sort of go down this specific path?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first tape, well, I had two tapes. One was Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I'm proud of. The other one was Spice Girls.
Nothing wrong with Spice Girls.
Which I loved too when I was about 5 years old. My parents, they all love the music. And my mum's a teacher, and she thought it was a good idea to buy herself a guitar so she can start, you know, singing some songs in the, for the kindy. And she never got around to it. And it was this old... Well, she brought it brand new, but it was a Carlos guitar. It was bright red, so it was stood out like a sore thumb. And it just sat there. So I just kind of started going through early teens, you know, the testosterone started coming in, and I wanted, you know, I got given a CD of some rock, and I was like, all of a sudden got influenced by this music and captured. And I got given Mothership, which is like a... like a greatest hits album of Led Zeppelin, and I just got absolutely obsessed. So what one does when they're obsessed with Led Zeppelin guitar, learns how to play Stairway to Heaven. And that's kind of like the start of the process. I must have been about 12, 13, and then going into first year college, I just got obsessed with like playing guitar, play, and throughout the school. That was my focus. And then, you know, school finishes and it's like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Do I go to uni or whatnot? And this awesome opportunity came my way, and I joined a band to go into cruise ships.
Oh, yeah.
So straight away from school, I spent a year kind of working with this band, built up our repertoire, and then we got our first contract. And from there, I was like, oh, my God. I get to play like guitar professionally,
on a cruise ship.
On a cruise ship, I know. Like for like a 19-year-old boy, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's gold.
Yeah, it's rock and roll kind of style.
So
I did a couple of years on the cruise ships, and it was really good because I could go to. There's so much amazing musicians around the world, and you know, there's so much knowledge. So I took that as like my education for music, you know, like I just
and I imagine life education too. Some of the things you would have seen and done.
Yeah.
We won't ask you how many 50-plus women had on you while you were in the band.
Oh, they did love it. Eh? There was a few link arms in the elevator. Yeah. You know, it's wild. For a young boy, crazy. So I just kind of used that opportunity to. Ask questions. I had a couple of guitar lessons. There's actually an Aucklander guitarist that I met on the cruise ships, Andrea Lisa. She's a jazz guitarist, and she's based out in LA, and she's a phenomenal guitarist. And you know, I managed to get a couple of lessons with her and just rack her brain. And with that, you kind of build up the knowledge. And then my now wife, we were together, she was singing in the band, and we kind of decided, no more cruise ships. It was starting to get a little bit toxic with the band and all of our relationships and that, and we decided to move to Hawke's Bay. And then with that, I was like, well, I got the skill of doing like corporate music stuff, you know, gigs and that. So me and my wife, we are a duo, and we'll do like heaps of weddings, wineries, parties, you know, and then we also had a corporate band, and just kind of working in that kind of scene. And then I kind of built myself around some of the other kind of better musicians in Hawke's Bay, the people that have been there for the whole time. And there's some amazing musicians in Hawke's Bay, and it's a smaller community, but there's a lot of awesome talent. And I've had the pleasure of playing with some pretty amazing people in Hawke's Bay. And then moving to Gizzy, we had our second child, and he was quite intense with the pregnancy, and that kind of closed that chapter.
Right.
And I was kind of put in this position to like, I don't sing, so, you know, it's hard to market like a solo guitarist, right? And I have all these creative ideas, but trying to find the right people to work with to create, you know, if it's a post-rock band or, you know, like another band, whether it's original or covers, I decided to kind of pitch this idea to my wife, and she's like, okay, yeah, sure. I was like, this is a really good idea, I promise you. Like, it's in my head. And she's like, okay, buy the looper. And then so I brought it, and I think about 3 or 4 months, I just every night just went away, just trying to work on something, find something that's going to, I don't know, fill that hole.
Yeah.
And then I just started kind of, because I love improvising, I kind of just go, just booked in at the market and stuff like that, just to test myself.
Yeah.
And then there was this one, it was at a pizzeria, there's like one song that kind of came through that I improvised, and I was like, holy, this is a unique thing. I love it. And that's basically the beginning of the Ash Sales. This instrumental music.
What a cool story.
Mm.
Was there a time that you were writing lyrics, you were writing your own music, or was it always covers when you were in your band?
In those bands, they were solely covers. We would have jams in that, but it was, we kept it professional just to minimise more work for ourselves and stuff like that. So we had a tight ship. And on the cruise ship, the guys, it depended on what mood they were in. Sometimes we'd have jams and then sometimes it wouldn't work out. And it's quite hard to find a space to jam
on
the cruise ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it can happen. I've just kind of been put in the position where I'm trying to pitch ideas to people, but it just doesn't come together easily. So I always had this struggle, even as a teen when I was playing in like bands and at college, and it's just trying to keep the same people, have some consistency to jam with and start writing music together. I just couldn't quite do that. I'm not sure if it's just me or the people that I've picked. It's probably an element of both.
Still happen that one day somebody comes along and starts jamming with your own music and go, oh, this is a fit.
There's definitely some space that I would bring people in. And last night I had a gig at Neck of the Woods, and I had Dan Marks, who opened for me. He came up with the djembe and played djembe for one of the songs. And it just adds a... another element.
Does your partner ever say she'd like to return? Does she miss the singing?
And
so there could be a comeback tour.
We do have a lot of songs that we've written together, and she's an amazing vocalist, and she's done a bit of theatre and things like that too, which is her passion on the other side. It's just time at the moment. She's very busy mumming.
Yep.
And it's an important role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Look, we're going to take a music break now. We're going to play one of your tracks called Reflections. Tell us about this one before we hit go.
Yeah. So this is a self-titled track. A song was the last song to be written. It kind of bumped off another song that was going to be part of the album. But I was supposed to record in March and last year, and then my son had it. Nasty accident, ended up breaking his arm, so we called off the recording and went back home and whatnot. And during that period where I rebooked, this hook at the end of the song just got stuck in my head, and the first demo is like 7 minutes of this happy hook. And I was pretty proud of it, and I showed my wife, and she's like, yeah, it's great, but goes nowhere. And I was like, okay. So back to the drawing board, and I was like, well, if I got something this, like, positive, why don't I have something opposite?
Mm.
So the track has this kind of dark sound that I call the doom sound, and it's kind of a reflection, pun, of my kind of mind and just how... you battle yourself and your confidence and, you know, your worthiness. And it's almost like a process of, like, dealing with that, accepting it and walking through. that path. And that's what the dance kind of shows with the song as well.
All right, okay. Let's take a listen to Reflections. Just saying, as that was playing, and listeners, you need to jump onto YouTube to check out the videos, because your videos are very impressive. Often we have instrumental ones where it's just a graphic whirling around the screen and it's very much to your imagination. Mm. With yours, you could either not look at the video and create your own story, or follow a video which has some very strong story suggestions.
Yeah.
And in that one, the fabulous choreographer Cyrus Henry is dancing. Really impressive.
Yeah.
You can't fault him.
No. And that was his approach. I gave him full rein. Hey, this is your craft. It's not mine. I would love you to do your thing.
Yeah.
And that's what he came up with. And also the fellow who filmed it, Tiago Cuba, which he's based in Gizzy, he was really much involved in the editing and how we kind of show the dance as well. So there's a big part of his work that kind of tells the story or aids the story of the song.
And tell our listeners about the setting where you filmed it.
Oh, yeah. So I'm based in a little town called Te Karaka in Gisborne, and there's a little theatre called the Waikahu Hall. And it hasn't been used for years, and last thing it was a pack house. So it's an old building. It's got a stage and everything, but it's all falling to pieces. You know, there's broken windows and that. And I had the pleasure of filming this video in there and actually creating some art back into the building. Mm. And it, yeah, is a really interesting energy when you do that, because, you know, a lot of people have had beautiful times in the hall.
Beautiful memories.
Yeah, beautiful memories, laughter, you know, sadness with the theatre back in the day. And it really, like, made me walk away and, like, kind of feel sad how that form of entertainment is not as prominent in society these days. Because it's a real craft to put on a show.
Yeah. And it brings those smaller towns and communities together, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. You've got some performances coming up yourself, some public performances. What's happening in that space?
Yep. So I got my next show next week up in Dimension Festival, which is somewhere up.
We did a Google. We're very close to Kaikohe in the north. Yep. Yeah.
And then I'm going down to Christchurch at Wonderbar on the 13th of February, I think, on Thursday. And I will be at Essence Aroha Festival on this Friday, Saturday, which is a little bit northwest of Rangiora. And then I'll be at Moon in Wellington following that, and Hamilton and Tauranga for the album tour.
Emma, the videos tell such a story when you're watching. I'm curious, what's it like for an audience going to a fully instrumental performance? Like, are you having to really almost perform yourself for people to watch? Or have you got audience members with their eyes closed just making their own story out? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, so it's, I think it comes down, like, some venues it's easy to have a projector, visual aid, because I'm limited to how I can do my live shows at the moment, as I got no funding or anything, so I got to do with the resources that I have and available. I have done shows with a projector with a lot of stimulating visuals behind me, which have been really cool.
Okay.
And it kind of changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I've done gigs with no visual aid. And what I find interesting is the eyes closed.
Yeah.
People actually go in and they're just in their zone. And it's amazing watching people move and just the kind of letting themselves go and letting themselves flow. And that's what I love. And I'm on stage and I'm here to present my music and I'm going to put my heart and soul on it. And it feels like it translates when people kind of let go.
Well, it's almost giving them permission, isn't it? But you permission to treat this how you like.
Yeah, basically.
I was in Melbourne recently and saw a fabulous artist, very similar sort of vibe to what you've played tonight, just playing along the waterfront. Mm. And I noticed everyone had their heads down. They were, and that same thing, I guess, just trying to get in, seeing it in their own world. And they weren't dancing, but their heads were kind of almost bowed down, like in a trance-like state.
Yeah, they could be listening. There's a band in Hawke's Bay that I love dearly called Jacob, and they're, I guess, categorised as post-rock, and it's instrumental. And there's no steady beat, so what a lot of people do is kind of that they sway and they feel the swells of the music and it's dramatic, you know, there's some heavy bits and then there's just some nice, beautiful sounds and it just kind of takes you on a journey and that's essentially what I'm doing too.
Brilliant.
With my songs.
All right, we're out of time. How can people track you down, listen to music, follow you, etc.?
Yep. So everything's under Ash Sales Music or Ash Sales. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the social medias. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music. I have a website, ashsalesmusic.com. www.sonorabrand.co.nz and buy a CD, some merch. I've got some T-shirts, and all my information of where I'm going to be playing next is all on there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for popping into our studio tonight. I just loved your story, and we love your music. Stay in touch. We'd love to keep playing it as new tracks come out. Send them our way so we can keep plugging you on Kick Arts.
Awesome.
Now, you're whizzing off now back to Mount Smart Stadium to boogie yourself and relax and enjoy some Fat Freddy's Drop.
Yep, that sounds great.
Well, in honour of that, we better play one of their tracks. Here is Clean the House. Thanks, Ash.
Awesome.
All the best.
Thanks,
for the
guys.
Rest
Thanks
of your
for
night.
Having me.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate you all.
A dramatic music video, Emma, which doesn't always translate to radio, but that was one of the shorter ones. Fat Freddy's Drop has long tracks to play. have a fabulous concert tonight if you're heading there for 9:30, although the weather outside is not kind for an outdoor concert.
It's frightful, in fact.
It is. It's awful. Now, we are jumping now to the fabulous Fringe Festival. There's a number of festivals coming up. This is the festival season, February and March.
It sure is.
And joining us now on the line is the New Zealand Fringe Festival Director, Vanessa. Good evening.
Kia ora, how are you doing?
We are good, thank you. How's things going in your busy world?
Very well. It's ironic, actually. I had the pleasure of seeing the Freddies outside at Brewtown last night here in Pōneke.
Brilliant.
I feel for anyone who's it's all good. It'll be mesmerising. You'll get temp. You'll dry off.
So, Vanessa, tell us, how long have you been sitting in the hot seat for New Zealand Fringe Festival?
Well, this is coming up to my fourth iteration as the director of New Zealand Fringe. This is our 35th birthday season. I haven't been there the whole time. will be my fourth festival as the director.
And, I mean, as you said, it's the 35th year of Fringe. What do you think's different about Fringe these days? Is it changing? Is it evolving? Or is it still kind of the same?
It's certainly evolving and still also kind of the same. So it's definitely larger. Like, originally it started off as a weekend festival at Bats, as an iteration of New Zealand Fringe Festival in 1990. And then now, of course, we are in our 35th year, we'll be presenting in 46 different performance spaces around Wellington and the greater Pōneke region. So it's pretty large. It's the largest open access multidisciplinary art festival in New Zealand. So it's just a joy every year, and also completely a wild ride. It's amazing.
So are you kick off the Fringe year, don't you? You're the first Fringe festival for Aotearoa?
We are, yes. So we actually open on the 14th of February, so Valentine's Day. I believe personally that there's no better date night than going to a Fringe show. So, or possibly even three or four in a night, because there's so many different things happening all around the city for sort of 23 days. So we thought it was also a bit of a love letter to the festival to wish it a happy birthday on Valentine's Day.
Beautiful. Now, this is a difficult question I'm going to ask you now.
Thinking about
the lineup that you've got.
Yeah. Ooh, I know what you're going to ask.
What is on your must see list?
This, I have to be honest, is one of the most torturous questions that I get every year, and I should be used to it by now. But it is like picking, it's a bit like Sophie's Choice. Not that anyone's going to be sent anywhere terrible if you don't go to the shows, but there's a plethora of amazing, extraordinary, and such a broad range on offer during New Zealand Fringe. So I'm really excited about, we have an amazing artist development program through New Zealand Fringe as well. We have incredible workshops and an amazing awards program. So it's really amazing seeing artists evolve through that space and then come back. We have LJ Crichton coming back with Master of None Brownfellow, his own show this year, and he was part of the Show to Cafe Best and Fest show last year by Saladar. So it's wonderful seeing artists come to their fruition and come forward with new works. It's also amazing having legacy artists come back and be featured in amazing shows all across the festival. We've got a plethora. I'm a multidisciplinary artist myself, so it's been really important since I've been in the space to try and make as many platforms for different disciplines as possible. I'm also a musician, so I really wanted to encourage more music within the festival. We have an amazing array of music in this year's festival across venues all over Wellington, including the beautiful Hannah Playhouse, which is so lovely to have in the fold. We've got the festival being closed out by the remarkable Deva Mahal, and we have the incredible up-and-coming star you're going to be hearing a lot of about, Iris, very shortly. They're about to drop their original album called Nature Project, which will be amazing. It's a must listen to and see. And we've also got incredible international artists coming over. We've got Missy Friends, who won Best in Cabaret at Adelaide Fringe last year, who are also going to be at Hannah Playhouse. We've got extraordinary comics coming over from Canada called Indie Girl Comedy, amazing Indigenous artists coming over from Canada who will also be working with local Indigenous comics as well. So that's super exciting to see that collaboration happening. You know, you'll have to stop me because I'll just keep going.
Well, I'm just looking through your festival website and, you know, I'd be like, I can go to that one. Oh, I'd like that one. Oh, that one looks good. You know, like there is literally something for everyone times 20.
Absolutely.
And we're excited.
And amazing comedy.
Yeah, real match.
A lot of musical theatre, which is really exciting.
Yeah, and we've got, well, we've got one of your guests is next up on the show, Nicola Brown from Space Invaders. But over the next month on Kick Arts, we've got lots of guests from the festival coming on to chat about their work. So listeners, keep tuning in.
Yeah, now I was going to say, I've got another tricky question for you. How do our New Zealand artists stack up against, alongside the internationals? Are we up there? Are we better than? Are we as good as?
Extraordinary. There's nothing more exciting for an artist to come to another country and see and meet the local artists and hopefully possibly have some collaborations. I've been fortunate enough since I've been the director of the festival to have also been over in Edinburgh over the last couple of festivals, and to see, it's really amazing to go and see emerging artists over there and to be able to, not that we should compare art obviously, but it is incredible to see our artists presenting and holding their own. We had multiple artists in Edinburgh this year who are having sold out seasons. Binge Culture, really amazing to see artists take their work further afield. And obviously we know the strength that Fringe has, not only for cultivating new artists and creating space for people to be innovative, but also launching careers. You know, that's happened for Fly the Conchords, obviously Rose Matafeo, you know, that's all through the Fringe space. Mm. So not only do we stack up, we're smashing it. You know, we're such extraordinary local artists. And it's beautiful to see that so many of the notable artists around New Zealand have come through Fringe. It's sort of the first place that people wet their feet, you know, the first tread the boards and you know, get to really be not curated and just really take some risks. So it's always so exciting.
And so cool to see all your sponsors, partners and supporters, because putting a festival on like this, you need that wraparound support, and we've really felt it in the arts world in the last year or two. So great to see so many people supporting you.
It's amazing. The first year that I was directing the festival, I came in sort of guns blazing, was really excited and lots of energy, and we got, obviously, the first year we had to present, we were through lockdown. So it sort of cut everything in half for the festival, but, you know, we put it out to the artists and they were far more, it was far more traumatic for them, the thought of not being able to present their work than to have half-size houses. So, but since then, what's been beautiful is seeing the community. The last two festivals have been record festivals. You know, the community have come out in spades to support local artists. And I think that has been one of the beautiful results of COVID and everyone having to sort of look into their own backyard for all the magic. And we've got such a plethora of talent in New Zealand. It's so extraordinary. It never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, amazing. So what's been your biggest challenge over the years, apart from COVID? Is what something that's always a challenge each festival?
Well, my love, you just said it, funding. You know,
yeah.
We have been very fortunate in the last few years that we have managed to have good support. But of course, post COVID resurgency funding, you know that's always the mission. But that's also what we do for the love of it. CCAT, we have a fantastic CEO Kim Bailey, who is really driven to support, and we all as a team and the management team, that's kind of our kaupapa, as we go out there and try and cover as much support to create a safe space for our artists. It's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important to artists to have the opportunity to present their work, you know, without fear of curation, but also with some support that it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg as well, mm-hmm. you know. So, but that's always the challenge, my friend. And you, you know, but it, as I say, it's so beautiful to see that the community just comes out and really revels in the work. It's a really joyous 23 days in Wellington. There's lots of extraordinary things happening all over the streets. And we have more activations happening called the Summer Series, which are exciting free events for family on Sundays throughout and the build up to Cuba Duper, which is also what CCAD to it. So it's a, and it's always an exciting time, but that is always the challenge is trying to, you know, leverage funds to support these artists. And that's our kaupapa, to get the artists to be paid for their work and, you know, to be able to celebrate them and lift them up, really.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight, Vanessa. We wish you a fabulous festival. As I say, we've got lots of the artists coming on over the next few weeks, so stay tuning in. Where can people head to follow, buy tickets, get the program, etc.?
Programs are all over the city at the moment. You can, if you can find them at iSites and numerous bars and Morbulsons and cafes all across town. But you can also just jump on the website, which is fringe.co.nz, and you can buy all the tickets there and search the entire program. Give yourself some time. There's lots of amazing stuff to read through.
Amazing. All the best for the season, and thanks for jumping on Sunday night with us.
Such a pleasure, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me, team.
All right.
No worries.
Take care. Now, I mentioned at the start of the show, Beetlejuice hitting Australia, the other big show coming back, Emma, for, I guess it's yet another remake, but is Jesus Christ Superstar. And have you seen some of the shorts? It's looking like it's going to be pretty cool.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
You and I might need some Aussie trips this year. So here is Mel C's rendition of I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's fine. And I think I shall sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without me tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight. When I
fabulous Mel C with Jesus Christ Superstar, not promising that she's in the Australian tour, of course, but a great track to play, and that's touring Australia soon, actually, kicks off very soon. Emma, that was one of my favourite shows I directed. I think I really enjoyed Jesus Christ Superstar, and I think I spent more money in that last scene raising Jesus up than I did in the entire production, but it was cool.
It was a great production.
It was good fun. Yeah. Good fun. All right, now we've been chatting Fringe Festival tonight, and it's a chance now to head to Dunedin to chat to the fabulous Nicola Brown with her show Space Invaders, which is taking part in both the festival in Wellington and the Dunedin Fringe. Welcome to the show, Nicola.
Kia ora, hello.
It's great to have you on, and you're a busy person jetting around the country with this show.
I am, yeah, and I've just been thoroughly enjoying building it up to Jesus Christ Superstar.
So tell us, what is Space Invaders all about? What is the audience in for?
They're in for a lot of fun. One audience member described it as a riot and a charm, and I think that's a really wonderful description of it.
That's nice.
It's my debut solo comedy show. I've been doing stand-up for about 6 years, and thought it was time to create my own show. So around this time last year, I came up with the concept of a show that's both comedy but also some medical education at the same time. So it's about a medical condition which affects up to 50% of women at some point in life, or people with vaginas, but hardly anybody talks about it. And I have it, and when I discovered I had it, I thought, this is utterly ridiculous that nobody talks about this. And so I've discovered a lot along the way, and I'm sharing some of what I've learnt through humour, because I think that's a really great way for us to take on board information that's maybe quite awkward or embarrassing sometimes for people to talk about, but humour's a great leveller, so it really gets people thinking and learning at the same time.
Tell us a little bit more about the condition.
It's a pelvic health condition. It's called pelvic organ prolapse, and it's where the pelvic organs don't sit where they should in the body.
Yep.
And it can actually make life pretty hectic when they're not living in the right places. And some women don't realise they have it. It doesn't cause them any strife, so that's fine. But for other people, they might have symptoms that they think, oh, that's just the price you pay for having a baby or for getting older or whatever, and they don't really know what to do about it, or they're too embarrassed to talk about it. And actually, when the things that we learn, the things that are preventive, that are quite helpful to know, that we can do lifestyle-wise and exercise-wise. So I'm kind of letting people know there could be some things to look out for, and if you do, no stress, but here's some possibilities you might want to consider.
Brilliant. What an interesting choice to put to a comedy show.
I know, and I was terrified, utterly terrified. Like, when it got close to the time of actually performing, I often try out material in Christchurch. I have a great time with Christchurch audiences, so I perform there quite a bit. And I took it to Christchurch as a work in progress, and I was utterly terrified because I was thinking, why did I think this was a good idea? Like, this is a terrible idea to get on stage for my first show and talk about something that's actually quite taboo. And people loved it. A reporter came along from the press. He sat in the front row. He got right involved in it. And he wrote this brilliant piece. And I had, there were health professionals in the audience who came up to me afterwards and said how much how wonderful they thought it was, and how they thought medical students need to see it, and people's partners need to see it. Like, it just kind of gathered momentum. It's almost got like a little cult status now. Like, people make Venn diagrams that they think I should include in the show, and somebody sent me earrings that they think I should include in the show. And
that's cool.
It's so fun. It's the best. It's one of the best things I've ever done.
That's so neat.
So you've done it at Auckland Fringe. Now you're going to be doing it at New Zealand Fringe in Wellington, and then on to Dunedin.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, people that
actually took it to Dunedin Fringe first. I tried some work in progress in Christchurch. I had a 2-night run at Dunedin Fringe, and it won. It was a sellout, basically, and it won an Auckland Tour Ready Award. So then I got to take it to Auckland Fringe, where I had 3 fabulous nights at Basement. Amazing audiences, and won 2 awards. I got Outstanding Comedy and Tahi Festival Solo Performer Outstanding Award. So now I'm taking it to New Zealand Fringe for 4 nights at Te Awaha, right at the end of Fringe Festival, and then I'm taking it back to Dunedin for a one night only opening night performance.
So if someone saw it in Auckland or last year's Dunedin, is anything different? Have we adapted?
Yes, it changes every time I do it because it has a lot of scope for audience participation. It's actually quite different to what I performed in Dunedin last year. I think it's got a lot funnier, actually, because of things that audience members have said and done as part of it. I think it'll be pretty similar to how it went at Auckland, I think. I just had a blast at Auckland, and I actually haven't started rehearsing, but I'm expecting I'll keep it pretty similar. But everything changes with comedy all the time. You know, comedy isn't just about who's on stage, it's about the entire room. And I'm a clinical psychologist, that's what I do most of the time. And I used to be a lecturer, and I think that knowing how to pick up on what's going on in the room means I have a great time with the crowd. And so I'm really, you know, I'm bouncing off whatever the energy is that's coming from the crowd, and I audio record so I can listen to what happened with the crowd work, etc. And so it just changes every time, it gets better and better.
So take us back, what sort of kicked off your journey, you know, in this world of comedy or stand-up or performance? What first did it for you?
I do a lot of public speaking. I do talk at conferences and I run workshops for organisations. And as I said, I used to be a lecturer at medical school, Otago Medical School. And so you have to be pretty entertaining as a psychologist to keep med students interested. I had 8 a.m. Monday lectures, which is a nightmare. And so students would be walking in with their toast and coffee, and I had to really work hard to keep them listening. So I think I've always found that the best way to get people on board is to make them laugh. It's always been a goal of mine when I'm doing public speaking to have a laugh along the way and to make it fun. And a few years back, there's a woman in Dunedin called Harriet Moyer, who's an amazing comedy producer and a fantastic comedian herself.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So she and I have been on a lot of speaking events together, and she said to me, look, you should really start doing stand-up. And it took me a long time. It took me about a year to get up the courage to do it. But I'm so glad I did. It actually scared me a lot the first time, and I didn't go back for months because I sort of thought, I don't know what else to talk about, not realizing you can do the same thing again but make it better. But once I got right into it, there was, I think my second year, I set myself a goal of perform once a month, at least do something once a month. And I'm from Dunedin, so finding performance opportunities, you know, they can be limited sometimes. But once I did it once a month, I was like, yeah, no, I love this. I actually really like it. So it just kind of evolved like that.
That's cool. And what's the plans next? Is there Space Invaders version 2, or is there a different, medical journey that you could use comedy to get the story out on? Where to next?
I would love to tour Space Invaders further. I really want to take it around the country to smaller centres as well, because it is pretty important information that I would like to be able to share, you know, on a bigger scale to places that don't necessarily have access to so much comedy. That's my plan in the next year or so, to be able to move it more around the country. Ultimately, I'd love to take it overseas, maybe to Adelaide Fringe or Edinburgh or somewhere else. And I do have another show idea that is really kind of nipping at my ankles. And it is about a health issue too. So, yeah, I've got some things that are brewing. But my creative process is kind of that I mull on something for a really long time. So long that by the time I actually make myself sit down to kind of devise it, it's almost like bursting out. And so I'm just letting that sit there for a while, and I'll see what happens with it and put all my focus into Space Invaders right now. But yes, there's definitely another show that I think has wings that could be coming around in a year or so.
Brilliant. All right, where can people go to find out more about these shows, you, track you, follow you, etc.?
I'm on social media as It's Nicola Brown. And obviously tickets are available on the New Zealand Fringe and Dunedin Fringe websites. And I'll also be performing at Auckland Pride Festival. I'm in one of the comedy lineup shows there, Can't Even Think Straight, on the 22nd of February. So that's what I've got coming up next.
Fabulous.
Awesome. Well, thank you for checking in with us once again. Head to those websites, team, get those tickets and go and support Nicola and the fabulous Space Invaders. Thanks so much for chatting to us on a Sunday night.
Thank you. It was lovely.
We appreciate it. Take care. Now, last night at Spark Arena in Auckland, Benson Boone certainly rocked the crowd, judging by the amount of cars and roadblocks at the end of it. So here is his Beautiful Things.
For a while there it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall. And I see my family every month. I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day for the girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives me, he can take away. And I hold you every night, and that's a feeling I wanna get used to. But there's no man as terrified as the man who stands to lose you. Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Found my mind, I'm feeling sane. It's been a while, but I'm finding my faith. If everything's good and it's great, why do I sit and wait till it's gone? Oh, I tell you, I know I've got enough. I've got peace and I've got love. But I'm up at night thinking I just might lose it all. You, I need you, oh God. I need these beautiful things that I've got.
A very talented Benson Boone rocking out the crowds at Spark Arena last night. And Jamie, if you're listening, you're in trouble for not taking your old man along, but posting all about it online.
Oh, it's always the way, isn't it?
No, very good, very talented. Now, back to the Fringe Festivals. It's a night of it tonight, and now the fabulous Emma is here from the Tempest Theatre Company. Good evening.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you, and you wrote to us this week because you've got lots happening in this festival. You have been busy. Before we talk about what's coming up, just tell our listeners a little bit about who is Tempest Theatre Company.
Yes, so I'm a professional theatre maker. I've been making theatre for, I think, 7 years now professionally, and I run a company called Tempest Theatre Co. here in Wellington. We sort of specialise in weird, esoteric theatre. We do a lot of sound work and digital work. We've taken shows across the country and around the world in the last few years.
Awesome. And you've got quite a few coming up, so let's unpack them one at a time. First of all, tell us about the Wicked Winds of Wellywood.
Yes, so this one is my baby. It is a unsolved case file, which you can get, like, physically collect with your friends and sit down with them over a meal or something and solve a crime set in Wellington. These things are quite popular, I found, overseas, but I've not found any New Zealand companies making them. So I was like, how do I combine voice work and my desire to make physical media and my desire for theatre together? And I think I found it.
I don't know about you, Emma. I get sort of adverts for these sorts of things in my Facebook feed, but you're right, they're often overseas versions.
Yes.
Yeah,
this is very much, I think, inspired by Wellington, though people can access it from anywhere in the country. It is online or physically in person. And I think it has a distinct Wellington flavour to it.
Okay. What's involved in creating something like this from your end?
It is a lot of work. The audience experience is quite easy, but I have had to write about 7 different characters, build a mystery from inside out, and design I've designed like a newspaper and brochures, as well as recording audio statements and things for the show. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah, wow. And then second up in the line is O Substance.
Yes, so this is a solo show by Ezra Prattley. He performed it first a few years back, but is bringing it back revitalized for 2025. It is sort of unpacking the meaning of existence in a solo show via physical theatre, clowning, poetry, a whole bunch of beautiful things. I think it's going to be quite spectacular.
Who do you think this one appeals to?
I think it's very much a very fringe show, and I think it is an easy watch. I think if you're wanting to explore the world a little deeper, I think it's for people who enjoy that kind of thing, maybe a bit philosophical.
And where's that one playing?
So that is at Te Awaha, from the 19th to the 22nd of February.
And also on those dates, you have Touch Grass.
Yes. So
I love the title, Grass. Mother Earth is amok.
Indeed. Touch Grass is basically two wonderful musicians wrestling with what it is to be an activist in our modern day, struggling with environmentalism and sort of social activism on the internet and things like that. It's an entirely new musical featuring an artist writing in Wellington and one writing in Auckland, and they're coming together for 4 days in Wellington in February.
That's cool. Now, if that variety wasn't enough, the last one is The Self-Possessed.
Yes, so this is a wonderful Kiwi artist who lives in Australia coming back over for his sort of swan song show. He's in his, I believe, his late 60s, Glenn McKenzie, and he is doing a solo show where he plays 2 characters, himself and a castrato opera singer in the 16th century. And together they try and unwrap gender and what it is to be a musician and opera singer in both that time and ours.
As a producer like yourself, where do you find artists like this? Because you've got, there's quite a variety here. This isn't like themed. You know, for example, that Self-Possessed, how did you hear about him?
Yes, so I'm actually technically working on 8 shows this fringe.
Wow.
But people reach out to me because they have seen my work or they like what I've been doing, or I find them via Facebook because everyone needs people and part of their team, and they don't often have these connections during Fringe, so I'm here to help.
Brilliant. What about you when it comes to the festival itself? Is there anything else that's sort of caught your eyes? You know, we've been talking tonight to the festival director, to some of the performers. Is there something on your bucket list to make sure you're getting along to?
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, true. Fair comment.
There is a fabulous show called House Down, which is a sort of sexy Regency comedy that is returning for Fringe this year that I think will be amazing to witness. There's a bunch of shows coming from international guests. There's some shows coming from New York, which I'm very excited for. But the beauty of Fringe is just looking at the program on any random day and randomly going to a show because there's so much on.
Yeah. What have you got next after Fringe? Have you got other things happening around the country?
I've got some comedy festival shows I can't talk about
yet.
Okay. They're still embargoed. And a couple of big projects coming up as part of festivals later in the year. But yes, it's pretty wild to already be sort of locked into about 15 shows this year.
That is brilliant. Brilliant. Where can people go to find out more, I guess, about you, Tempest Theatre Company, but also book for any of these shows that we've talked about tonight?
Of course. So my website is emma-maguire.com. You can also search up Tempest Theatre Co. on Facebook, Instagram or Spotify. And all tickets can be booked at fringe.co.nz.
Brilliant. Thank you, Emma, so much for chatting with us tonight. Good luck with your very, very busy few weeks ahead.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
Cheers. Bye. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. The whole love thing, I clowned. Then who's the joker? I guess I'm in. Cause I let it right go and I found it. Time has never been my best suit. Now I got everything except you. You moved out of my heart, still got the bruise. I'd give it all back to be next to you. I turn my radio off and it's just my luck. Ooh, ay, 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 babe. I turn my TV on, it's the same old song. Why are you following me? It's like I'm missing your sound. It's written on my face. Everybody knows, cause everywhere I go, the whole world is singing to me, yeah. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my knees, I'm begging you please to come home. Dreams and now she's all gone. Thought that we could last forever, I was all wrong. Said the talking was cheap and now I'm flat broke. She don't even wanna see my face anymore. She don't wanna say where she's gonna win. But now she's on replay in my brain. I do what it takes, anytime and place. We can turn a break up into an outbreak. I turn my radio off and it's just my luck. Why are you, me? I turn my TV on, it's the same old song. Why are you following me? It's like I'm missing you, sound. It's a real on my face. Everybody knows, cause everywhere I go, the whole world is singing to me, yeah. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Vamps, Cecilia, Shawn Mendes singing that song. It just turned up in my feed tonight and I just thought, oh, that's a good classic from the past with a modern take on it.
Very much so.
Nice vibe. Now, we've had some people email in for some bulletins, Emma.
We have. Now, sorry, I've just noticed that one's embargoed until Tuesday, so I won't read that one. So carrying on, though, Naked in the Trees is in a month's time. It's a full festival program has been released. And in fact, so I'm just going to click on that. So Naked in the Trees, Unleash Your Curiosity, a festival run by the Naked World, which you can find out all about at www.nakedinthetrees.co.nz. It's happening from the 14th to the 16th of February in Taumarunui in New Zealand. Experience an extraordinary weekend of music, workshops and self-discovery at the Naked in the Trees. Nestled in the serene King Country landscape, just 10 kilometres outside of Taumarunui, this festival offers an unmatched blend of sound, nature and exploration. Prepare to embrace the spirit of curiosity and connection from the 14th to the 16th of February. And that website again was nakedinthetrees.co.nz.
Now, the laughs just get bigger as the New Zealand Comedy Trust announced five more acts to hit the stage of this year's Best Foods Comedy Gala, hosted by Hayley Sproul. It's the annual 2025 New Zealand International Comedy Festival, kicking off on the 2nd and 3rd of May in Wellington. The latest acts to be announced include Felicity Ward, Tape Face, Eli Mathewson, Heath Franklin's Chopper, and Hugh Huang, ready to build on their stellar performances from last year. You can get all the details about the massive festival taking place throughout the country at comedyfestival.co.nz.
Now, you're not too late to be prepared to be amazed for the Auckland International Buskers Festival, which has actually been on this weekend and continues tomorrow, Monday, anniversary day. If the weather's cleared up, what a way to spend the day. 25th annual Auckland International Buskers Festival hits the Auckland waterfront and CBD, and it's happening in Lower Queen Street at Te Komatangi Square, the Eastern Viaduct at the Viaduct Harbour and Karangi Plaza, Wynyard Quarter, for free family summer entertainment starting at 12 p.m. So make sure you arrive early to claim the best viewing position.
Brilliant. Now get ready for the ultimate Langway Street Party. Cross Street Music Festival is returning on the 8th of March. Expect a full night of incredible music, vibrant energy and unreal vibes. The first nine acts of the lineup have been announced, promising another epic year of live performances. The festival theme is Out of This World, bringing together Auckland's local creative community and music lovers alike to celebrate and enjoy a curated day of music for everyone. Now that is taking place. It's the Cross Street Music Festival.co.nz is where you need to go. It's Saturday, 8th of March at 5 p.m. Just doesn't have the address of where we're heading, but check online, it'll have everything you need.
Fantastic.
And if you've got something coming up, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, she's doing it again. She's saying goodbye tonight and she's zipping off to the other side of the world. Where are you off to, Emma?
I am on Thursday. I get the joy and pleasure of joining with Travel Gang's Kiwi All-Stars. We're off to America. First off to New York to learn our adjudication piece, which happens to be Beetlejuice Jr., as I mentioned earlier. And then we go on to Sacramento to Junior Theatre Festival West, and then to LA for a few days, and then back home again. So hit the ground in the middle of February, ready to start teaching for the year.
Yeah.
So thank you to Travel Gang and Junior Theatre Festival for the opportunity.
Sounds awesome. And you come back, I'm away for just for that weekend, which is also somewhere in here we're celebrating our birthday on the show.
I do believe
we'll have to celebrate it a little later in the month.
I believe that our birthday is on the 10th, and of course that's the Monday, and yeah, I'm back that next weekend. You're not here though, so the we'll definitely catch up at some stage. But can you believe it? 5 years.
5 years of Kick-Arts for us. And and we must check the original start date, because that must mean we must be like 15 for the whole show.
Yeah, 15 or 16, but I will check.
Brilliant. If you have something coming up, please email us. Our schedule for May is pretty chocker. We're now really booking well into March and April. So email us info@kickarts.org.nz. If we can't get you on the show, we'll do a bulletin. But we hate turning people away.
We sure do.
Our fabulous sponsors for the month of January, which is the Shoreside Theatre Team with Shakespeare in the Park. I read some beautiful reviews over the last week.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing so well. Obviously, they kicked off a little bit late due to illness for Taming of the Shrew, but it's full steam ahead, so make sure you get along for some Shakespeare in the Park. And yes, thank you again to Shoreside for your support of us, as always.
And how can people sponsor us, Emma?
Well, they can get in touch with us. Again, email us, info@kickarts.org.nz. You can sponsor a show, just one-off show, for $90. Or if you want to sponsor a whole month and have your name on all of our promos, you can do that as well. $350.
Yeah, brilliant. We appreciate your support to keep us on air. Well, thank you to our fabulous guests that joined us from all around the country today. We're closing out with a song written by the fabulous Jonathan Larson. I noticed on social media today around the world, Casts of Rent acknowledging his anniversary of his passing. So who better to sing one of his songs but Idina Menzel with No Day But Today. Have a fabulous week, everyone, and make sure you
kick some arts.
All life is yours to me. No other path, no other way. No day but today.
Hit FM.